And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagmann and Hagmann Report for today. It's December 7th, 2016, 75 years ago today, Pearl Harbor. You know, it's amazing how time flies, but it's also amazing to see how much has changed in the last 75 years, not necessarily for the better. And of course, we've got an apologist in the executive branch. We got an apologist everywhere. It's something to see. We're going to be getting into a lot of that later. Just want to welcome everyone listening all across North America. If you're in the Chicago area listening to this, yeah, it's coming our way. All that snow, the cold, the bitter cold all across the North. I was talking to Steve today, and he said, man, it's cold in Montana as well.
Yeah, the West Coast has a huge cold front coming down from the north on it. We're actually not going to see temperatures anywhere near what the West Coast and the Midwest is seeing. I think as low as it's about to get here is in the mid-20s. That's about next week,
you know,
or this weekend, if I remember right. But the country's seeing wind chills like minus 20, 30 degrees below zero. So it is cold around the nation.
I just think the older we get, me anyway, the older I get, the less I like the cold and the snow. Maybe that's why so many retired people move to Florida or you go south, you know, I guess. But anyway, you didn't tune in for a weather forecast. You tuned in for the news. And just want to remind everyone, we broadcast every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. Just give Todd and everyone at Global Star Radio Network just a round of applause. There you go. Yeah, what a great job they do in getting our voices heard all across the world, North America, South America. God bless you for what you do. Also, a hat tip to Blog Talk Radio as well, BTR. They do a great job. And, of course, YouTube Live. You can watch us on the YouTube Live. A lot of great stuff coming. A lot of great changes coming. We are growing thanks to your support, thanks to you, thanks to your prayers and patience and kindness. And you know, I just want to say something. It's amazing to me, as we went through the emails and mail today, and all of the people, many people saying, offering their suggestions on how we can, you know, for guests and for other things, and how great that is, and we're a family. And you know, again, the conversation that Steve and I had today, it is so amazing that there are so many great people out there, and then there are people out there who couch or consider themselves as Christians who do nothing but make it their life's work to attempt to tear down whatever they can, and to lie, and to say, you know, oh, Hagmann and Quayle, what a bunch of scammers and schemers, and oh my goodness. It's so unfortunate that I had to spend, forced to spend a couple of hours in the dregs dealing with these imbeciles, these morons, these mental midgets, you know what? I'm gonna stop because I'm not gonna put any more adjectives there. You know who you are. They know who they are. And it's so sad because you got nothing better to do, right? Than to rip at somebody and people that are trying to get the word out, get the message out. We, you know, give up. We're 24/7 trying to get the information out and you have nothing better to do than to attempt to, take us down. I don't know. It's getting bad, folks. It's getting bad out there with the censorship, with this fake news meme. And that's another word I don't like. I don't like narrative. I don't like meme. I don't get this, but it's getting bad out there with respect to the war that's against the truth. And you know, the reason
what the Pope said.
Well, yeah, hang on, but I just want to say that the reason I'm mentioning this is because when you sit down at your table, maybe your family dinner at Christmas, and especially after Inauguration Day, and you all come together, I really feel for the people out there who are Christians and who are conservatives in thought, in deed, in action, who have tolerated so much over so long and know the truth and what it is, yet are surrounded by people who don't or who refuse to accept that. And what we see here on a macro level, you're going to see on a micro level, but the effect will be the same. And it's going to be tough, and it is tough. I don't care if you're 17 or 77 or 777. It doesn't matter what your age might be. It's going to be difficult to deal with family members. It's going to be difficult to deal with friends and coworkers and people that you know socially. We're going to pray for you, for your strength. And for those people who just have nothing better to do or just a desire to rip us down and rip other people down, other people who are trying to get the truth out there. If that's what you want to do, if that's what your life's calling is, you know, I'm saddened for you. What an empty life you must have. Really. How intellectually and morally and spiritually bankrupt must you be? Wow. So when you're sitting at the table, ladies and gentlemen, with your family member or friend or coworker, and the chill comes over the table because they don't believe what you do, and the fake news is the word of the day, or you know, takes the day. Just understand that, you know, you're not alone in this fight, and we will pray for you. We will pray with you, and we're all going to get through this together. Joe, you were saying about the Pope. That's my message.
Yeah, there's an interesting story from Yahoo.com where Pope Francis has come out and warned the media over the sin of spreading the fake news and smearing politicians. And this is the way he said this is just, there's something wrong with this guy, big time. Media that focuses on scandals and spread fake news to smear politicians risk becoming like people who have a morbid fascination with excrement, Pope Francis said in an interview published Wednesday. And yes, you heard me right. Using precise psychological terms, he said scandal-mongering media risked falling prey to corporophilia, which is an arousal from excrement or consuming. And he goes on to say this. I think the media have to be very clear, very transparent, and not fall into, no offense intended, the sickness of corporophilia, that is, always wanting to cover scandals, covering nasty things, even if they are true.
So, say what?
Yes. He said, again, I'll read this again. I think the media have to be very clear, very transparent, and not fall into, no offense intended, the sickness of corporophilia, that is always wanting to cover scandals, covering nasty things, even if they are true. And since people have a tendency toward the sickness of corporophilia, a lot of damage can be done. And he also went on to talk about how this... the means of communication have their own temptations. They can be tempted by slander and therefore used to slander people, to smear them. This, above all, in the world of politics, he said, they can be used as means of defamation.
Well, okay. Now, this is kind of a good point because, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the business, in a sense, of uncovering, and we've always been in the business, almost my entire adult life, 30 years, I've been in the business of ferreting out corruption, ferreting out, mm-hmm. you know, crimes, criminal activity, people doing things that are unlawful. And this is kind of an extension of that. So we cover a lot of corporate crimes, criminality, right?
No, absolutely. So, and he's not making the distinction here. It's one thing to cover, if you're a media outlet that is just focused on a certain, you know, topic or, you know, just one-minded, you know, always covering, you know, when the stock market goes bad or that's sure. the only thing you cover. But he's not making that distinction here by saying that the media is not doing, not telling the truth when, even if their scandals are true, and these, you know, by covering truthful events.
So hide it.
As putting that as, you know, in the same category as he says of, this amounting to sin for spreading fake news or eating excrement. Even if the story is true, he says, covering nasty things, even if they are true, is, he says it's a sickness. But,
covering it.
He says covering it.
Oh boy.
Even if it's true. And, you know, one of the biggest things,
Are we not supposed to expose the deeds of darkness?
Look at the Catholic Church history with pedophilia itself.
Right.
They have done so much to sweep the misbehavior and molestation of children under the rug by sending preachers to different parishes in different states and covering up the crimes, not reporting them to police. We've seen thousands of cases of this just in the last 10 years, and it's been, you know, very prevalent, you know, 100 years ago even. And I think there's some worry about exposure here.
Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Ephesians 5:11. And I'm not a biblical encyclopedia. I don't know scripture as well as I should. I admit that. We approach this from a Christian worldview, all of this. However, certainly we know, look, we have our failings, but not especially me. But so, okay, and some people may say, well, isn't that what you just opened with? Well, you're open. Aren't you criticizing the very people, you know, who believe they're attempting to expose our misdeeds, which, okay, whatever. It's not the same. I think what we're doing here we are attempting to expose the deeds of darkness by the globalists, by the people in power in order to fight and survive another day. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but I'd like to think our efforts do create the possibility of maybe even allowing another day of normalcy for a child to swing on a swing on a spring day or play in the snow and, you know, be a normal family, because the longer we can adhere or keep to our lifestyle, I shouldn't say keep to our lifestyle, but keep the bad stuff away through exposure.
I mean, that's the only way. How else do you look at some of the scandals in the past that, you know, from Watergate. It wasn't until investigative journalists did the work, and at least in our time in history, with the media and this new, you know, the press that we have, from radio to television and now the internet, it's just been expanding since the inception of it. But, I mean, to ignore what you read earlier from Ephesians, to ignore the crimes or ignore the truth, in order to appease a political group, or, you know, it's just so wrong what the Pope's saying here. And,
when did this statement come out?
And this article is from today.
Okay. When did he made the statement recently?
Yes, actually, he made the statement at the general audience in Paul the Sixth Hall at the Vatican, December 7th, 2016. So today.
All right. Well, in my view, now, for example, we had Brittany Pettibone on a couple of days ago. She's a Catholic. And I grew up Catholic. This is not an indictment of Catholics any more than, I mean, it's just not. When we talk about the Vatican and talk about the papal, position and statements, I don't want people who are Catholic to feel like they're being, that they're involved in what we're saying here. It comes from the leadership of, for example, the Roman Catholic Church in the form of this Pope, which to me is nothing more than a Marxist Leninist operation by definition and by practice. Mm-hmm. So I want to mention portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by omahasteaks.com. Have you gone there yet to shop? Oh my goodness. You know, it's so easy. It's a lot of fun too. omahasteaks.com. They have the greatest family gift pack for $49.99. Just go to omahasteaks.com, and as soon as you do, in the search bar right at the top, type in HH, and that'll bring down, although it you won't notice a change maybe in the way the page looks, it will bring down the specials for Hagman and Hagman Report, especially for the audience of the Hagman and Hagman Report. That's omahasteaks.com, and in the search bar, type in HH. So, yeah, and tonight's show, we have a great show. Sean from the SGT Report is coming on. We're going to be getting more into the criminality and the crime rings, pedophilia within the Washington, D.C. area. It's something that we really have to keep on. What's known as Pizzagate, though it's being referred to, yes, we have to keep the pressure on, because a lot of the information that we're finding right now as we continue on, and we're up to our elbows and necks in all of this, papers everywhere. Again, my office looks like a college dorm room a week before finals. You know, it's like stuff everywhere. So Sean from SGT Report's going to be joining us. And then, of course, Pastor David Langford every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. He's going to be coming on to give us a spiritual B12 shot, a well-needed one at that. So, go ahead, man. Anything else, or should we just kind of shut it down right now?
We got two pieces of news from the Trump administration. He's made two separate picks. One is the pick to head the EPA for the Oklahoma Attorney General Pruitt is going to head up the EPA. He is a global warming skeptic, and there's the Gateway Pundit has some an interesting story on this, where they talk about his history. Pruitt met with Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, in New York, 28th of November, and used his current position to try to block some of EPA's most important air quality rules. This is from the far-left EDF piece that they're quoting here. They say he tries to block every EPA rule he sees, and he is an anti-global warming activist. And then you have the Secretary of Homeland Security, John F. Kelly, General John Kelly, who is very good on immigration. He was tough on border security, warning Congress last year about the risks of smuggling rings in Mexico and Central America that spirited tens of thousands of people, including unaccompanied children, into our nation's doorstep, as well as terrorist organizations south of the border, using the border as smuggling routes to intend to give harm to our citizens, even bring weapons of mass destruction This is General Kelly and what he has said in the past. And apparently he lost a son in Afghanistan during this war. And in 2010, he lost a son in Afghanistan. And he is... a lot of people on the left are not happy with this pick because of the anti-immigration stance and the border security stance, and I would say the terrorist stance that he takes. But it seems to be a solid pick for Homeland Security. I don't know much about the Oklahoma Attorney General for the EPA. I'm not really familiar with him. But
we're going to develop our... We are going to, I believe what we should do is have a show dedicated, at least in part, at some point after the 20th of January, after inauguration day, just to list the appointments and what it looks like. I think we have to wait until then to really assess what this is going to look like, because I do believe some of the considerations for his appointment right now are to appease the establishment Republicans, at least between now and the day of inauguration, or at least until now, until the day of the meeting of the Electoral College, because for as far out of a possibility as this might be, and I just want everyone to think about this, in order to be elected president, the popular vote, you all know about the popular vote versus the Electoral College and the, and such. We don't have to explain that, but Trump does need to have 270 Electoral College or votes from the Electoral College on December 19th, when they meet on December 19th, and the vote has to be certified. And if for some reason Trump does not get 270 electoral votes, which I think he will, but let's just go way out on the limb, way deep into the weeds here, and say, oh, something happened. He doesn't get them.
And I think he will, too. And there's an article from Fox, recounts barely making a dent in election results. Trump gains in Wisconsin. The recounts, you have some other concerns.
Yeah, and here's the concern the concerns I have. There's a band of electorates who are calling themselves Hamiltonians or Hamilton electors that are voting, quote, their conscience. Now, that's fine. All right. They're some call them faithless electorates, but you'd have to change a whole, like 49 or so members of the Electoral College. You'd have to have 49 or approximately go rogue in order for Trump not to get the 270. It's based on the latest statistics. I'm kind of just summarizing it here. Now, if that does happen, what happens then? Well, then the election, it's not like, for example, where Hillary would get 270 over, or 270 or over, it would be that no candidate gets the 270, hits a 270 mark. Well, then it goes to the House for the House to vote on the president, and then the Senate for them to vote on the vice president. That this is according to our constitutional, as we are a representative republic. Well, so I think Trump's got to have some, between now and the 19th, some level of give and take here. But what's interesting to me as I'm looking at this is the global push by the globalists from other countries, including and especially the UK and Australia and some countries in Western Europe, trying to change the votes of the Electoral College members. All right, now why would they care? Well, it's because of the globalist versus nationalist psyche that's taking place. But as I said right from the beginning, I didn't know. I thought, of course, y'all know, because if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, I said I really thought Hillary was going to win. Didn't want her to win, but I thought Hillary was going to win. Of course, Trump won, and okay, that's the way it is. But I think the intent, the one thing I have been saying all along is the intent here is to delegitimize or cast doubt on the legitimacy of the office of the president. And also, in the long term, I believe that there are some people who want to change our Constitution. Not that they're going to, but they want to at least illustrate that our Constitution is outdated. It doesn't reflect the current model of our society or the current, the current model of our society. And that's the danger. That's where I believe the danger exists. So all I'm saying is let's look at the, going back to the selections, the cabinet selections, let's wait until after inauguration, then we can get a better feel for how things are going. But in the meantime, watch for this casting doubt on the legitimacy of the election itself. And although the issue is not whether or not the members of the Electoral College are going to vote one way or another, the issue is not the recounts. The issue is the larger picture, in my view anyway, of, hey, this representative Republican stuff in the Constitution, nah, man, it's got so many problems, we need to change it. That, to me, is the issue, the mentality of it. And that's the intent, I believe, of the Alinskyites and the communists, the Marxist-Leninists that we have in power. And the other thing, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, I know I'm giving you like 30 seconds, but watch Keith Ellison. Watch that guy. He's got ties, in based on my research and others, to the Muslim Brotherhood. He's got ties to radical Muslims, and of course they're still considering him as the possibility for the chairing the DNC. And if that's the case, it's going to go in a whole different direction. And you think it's left now, far left now, it's going to be way worse later, Joe.
Yeah, and we saw, I think if, you know, to change the election system, we saw that in 2000 with Gore Bush.
Yep.
And if there was ever a time, I think, where, you know, they had a chance to make headway in changing the way that the votes are counted, or the Electoral College versus the popular vote, they would have done it then, with the case going all the way to the Supreme Court, to be voted on to see who became president.
You know, I'd like to know what you folks think, and Joe as well, Scalia's death as being part of the Supreme Court. Do you think that was a plan, perhaps, for something in anticipation of maybe a Supreme Court decision in this election? Could that have been something, or could it have been related to something else, or was it just simply a death?
Well, we don't have the facts. How Scalia died, there was no autopsy performed, the pillow over the face.
Yeah.
So people aren't going to be able to give an accurate account based on what we know so far because of all the points and issues that were covered up with that case. So I don't know how, nobody's able to make an informed opinion when we don't have any of the facts.
Very true. And where is Julian Assange, by the way? Just kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
And Eric Braverman. Paging Eric Braverman.
When we come back, Sean from the SGT Report will be our guest. And we are going to be getting right back into the thick of it. We'll be right back after this. Stay with us.
Right, covering all of the news right here. Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, bookmark our website, HagmanReport.com. Joe's doing a great job populating that with news that you need to know, show prep information, homework, and of course, for the show itself, HagmanandHagman.com. I want to give a special hello and shout out to Mr. John Robertson. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for all that you do. You really have excelled in setting some things up and handling things. And JD, thank you. And of course, Eric the Tech. You can follow him on Twitter at RealTechEric. Thank you, Eric the Tech. You've done such a great job. And of course, some people will say, run, get out of there, really, while you still can, while you still have your soul, run. And never mind. Yeah, it's an inside joke between Eric and I. It's no big deal. Before we get to our guest, I'm so excited because today, ladies started. I was home. I went home about 11:30. I don't know. It was right before lunch. And of course, lady and I, we do everything together. Lady, the studio dog, and I, we go everywhere together. And jumped out of the truck and we walked to the house, and we weren't in the house 5 minutes and the doorbell rings and there's a package from Omaha Steaks, our filet mignons and our top sirloins, and our family pack had arrived. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for just $50, under $50, that is $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter code HH in the search bar. That's a 77% off savings. It's fantastic. And if you are out there, one of the many who are struggling to find that perfect gift for someone who has it all, or, and you know the holidays are fast approaching, you can order gifts for everyone on your list with just the click of a mouse. How easy is that? But today, ladies' tail was wagging and I was excited because here's what we got in my family gift pack. Yes, we ordered it for ourselves. Here's what we got. We got two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet. That makes the steaks such a great flavor with that. But plus 4 additional kielbasa sausages free, all for $49.99. How can you beat that? You cannot even go to the grocery store and get that much great food for that price. This is a fantastic deal. And anyway, we brought it in and we unpacked it, put it in the freezer. And of course, we had to today make 2 burgers, one for, well, for my wife and I, and lady was just watching us and smelling out how great the smell is. But they've got fantastic beef. The beef is second to none. But overall, Omaha Steaks offers many gift ideas and gourmet food. It's a great steak experience at home. And they've got the most flavorful tender aged beef, and they've got seafood and poultry and pork and veal. Check it out. Go to omahasteaks.com, but put in HH in the search bar for my family gift pack. You got to do that, because that savings is to you, ladies and gentlemen. Compliments of omahasteaks.com. Hagman and Hagman Report. Again, put HH, not H and H. No, just HH. Got an email from someone saying, it's not working. It's just HH in the search bar. omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar, and have at it.
Joining us now is Sean from sgtreport.com. SGT Report provides original content and interviews with some of the best-known voices in the world of economics and precious metals. Sean, it's great to have you back on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hey, fellas, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to have you here. You've been doing some fantastic work. I mean, incredible work of late. But no, not that you haven't always, but Sean, I just love your investigative work product, and you're educating the people. What are you working on right now that we need to be talking about?
Well, first, back at you. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that compliment. And you know what we're trying to do at sgtreport.com every single day, day in and day out, is be the antidote to corporate propaganda, right? And I know you guys are doing the same thing. So many of us are out there trying to tell the truth. And you can see now the meme in the mainstream media is to label us all as fake newsers, quote unquote conspiracy theorists, nothing more. So we've really been shining the light of truth on Pizzagate. Lately, that may be perhaps not the best name for it, but that's the name that stuck. And I think it's, you know, it hails back to Watergate, and it's the idea that there is much corruption in our government, leading to the highest corridors of power, potentially right to, you know, the office of Hillary Clinton when she was at the State Department, and John Podesta, who's been, you know, in the Clinton administrations, going all the way back to Bill Clinton when I believe he was chief of staff. And right now we're seeing the mainstream Mockingbird media, exemplified by CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times, malign the idea or the mere possibility that there could possibly be a pedophile ring or a child trafficking ring operating in and around Washington, D.C. that involves politicians. We're seeing that being absolutely dismissed out of hand as poppycock, as nonsense, as tomfoolery, and that we're all just crazy tinfoil hat-wearing nuts for discussing it. And you guys have probably noted that they will not mention one fact that those of us who have been researching Pizzagate have uncovered. They just dismiss it out of hand. And I have plenty of sound bites prepared for you guys here that I'd like to play as we go through this. But that's what we're working on, Pizzagate. And I got to tell you, you know, I have a YouTube channel now with roughly 128,000 subscribers. And what you'll find if you look at my Pizzagate videos, anything I've done on Pizzagate has been demonetized and deemed not advertiser friendly by YouTube, which is just
we got nailed. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to keep telling this story. We're not going to let them shake us off it.
You make such a great point, because the warfare out there, Sean, and you just pointed this out. See, people don't really understand the entirety of the war. They look at it as they don't take into account, for example, that in order to shut you and I up, all of us up, they'll go after the money. In other words, if somebody wants to sponsor our program, great. But man, the blowback against the sponsors, the blowback against monetization, even just to pay the bills, you know, a few bucks on YouTube or whatever, they will erase all chances of any monetization.
That's right.
And you know, so this the war that exists out there, Sean, is just in my view, they are hitting us from all angles. So I'm glad you brought that up. And yeah, what a great job with your YouTube channel, by the way. And what a great job on your latest expose here about fake news psyop or fake news debunked. And folks, go to sgtreport.com, sgtreport.com, and make sure you subscribe to their YouTube channel and certainly check their website every day. But Sean, this Pizzagate, which I believe should be Pedogate, but okay. Because Pizzagate, in my view, limits the conversation to an extent. What have you found? I mean, encapsulate for everyone what you've found so far in terms of the bottom line. What's the bottom line on this?
Well, look, I know how informed your listeners are, and I believe last night you guys covered this in depth with a guest. Is that true? You really got into Pizzagate?
This week, actually, a couple nights.
Okay. Yeah, we had.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
No.
Brittany Pettibone.
Yeah, I love her. She's great. I know her just from Twitter. But, yeah, look, there's tremendous researchers out there who've been telling this story. And so I don't want to bore people with things they already know. Obviously, the Comet Ping Pong Jimmy Comet Instagram account caused a lot of us to want to dig a little deeper into what James Elefantis is all about. But I'm not pointing any fingers at any one person. I think we need to go back all the way to historic facts if we're going to talk about Pizzagate. And you know, I've been talking about the crimes of Jimmy Savile for a very, very long time, and of course he was employed by the BBC for years, for decades, and they knew about his pedophilia and his alleged necrophilia, and they covered it up. And I've got a BBC Channel 5 documentary. I want to play just one clip here for you. Hopefully you'll be able to hear this loud and clear. That does prove that he was not a lone pedophile. He was trafficking children to the elite. We know he was friends with Prince Charles, and we know he was knighted by the Queen. This is a global problem. Listen to this.
Jimmy Savile, far from being a lone predator, seemingly played an active role in supplying children to a network of child abusers in London.
Okay, could you guys hear that all right?
Yeah, yeah. Was that from the unaired documentary of Conspiracy of Silence?
I don't believe it's from Conspiracy of Silence. That is a UK Channel 5 documentary about the crimes of Jimmy Savile. And, you know, what so many of us have come to realize about this problem, you guys, is that, and this is why we are seeing our enemy in the mainstream Mockingbird media try to shut us down. This is Ephesians 6:12, which you guys know well. This is not a problem of just human beings. This is a spiritual problem. It's spiritual warfare. I know Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, I know you guys talk about this regularly, but I think it's an important place to start. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I had my friend Gans Shimura from the Face Like the Sun YouTube channel on recently to talk about just that. And he said something really powerful, and I'd like to play that for you. May I?
No need to ask. Fire away.
Listen to this.
You talked about Ephesians 6:12. You go back one chapter, Ephesians 5:11. It says this, "Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." And interestingly, in verse 12, it says, "For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." And man, is that true with everything that's come to light here. It's shameful to discuss all this stuff. Blood sacrifice, pedophilia, taking kids out of Haiti for a pedophile. I mean, it is shameful. It's hard to talk about it because it's so shameful.
Yeah.
But it says here, right here in Ephesians, that we need to expose this stuff.
Okay, so we're exposing this stuff. You guys are. The Pettibone sisters are. So many of us are working so hard to try to tell this story because there are children right now, as we speak, in dungeons around this planet that are being victimized. Child trafficking is huge. So what do we know? What do we already know? Well, let's stay in the historical fact. Let's go back to 2011 and Breitbart's tweet. Andrew Breitbart tweeted this just a year before he died. quote, how John Podesta isn't a household name as world-class underage sex slave op cover-upper defending unspeakable dregs is beyond me, end quote. And a year later, he was dead. Do you guys not think for 1 minute that if that was untrue, that he would not have been immediately sued for libel?
Absolutely.
Of course, he would be. And so what's so troubling about this and the WikiLeaks Podesta emails and all the work that the researchers at Reddit and 4chan and all over the alt media in the real world have done is they've drawn light on these horrific anomalies, these speech patterns, the secret code using words like hot dog and pizza to refer to little children, which are widely recognized as being pedophilic code words. It's just extremely disturbing. And I'm not sure if you guys knew about this. I just reported this yesterday, in fact, and let me find it. I found it quite disturbing. Now, you know, CNN is really leading the charge here, shooting us all down as being conspiracy theorists talking nonsense. Well, Jake Tapper certainly loves to malign Pizzagate and spirit cooking specifically. And, of course, he and CNN never, ever bother to address any of the troubling facts and the mountains of circumstantial evidence that suggest a penchant for pedophilia among the ranks of Washington, D.C.'s elite. So I find it really strange. It's a really weird, strange coincidence that almost a year ago, in February 2015, Jake Tapper's wife, Jennifer, professed her love for Comet Ping Pong and Bucks Fishing and Camping to the Washingtonian magazine, naming them specifically as her favorite date night restaurants, which is really weird for those who aren't learned about this Pizzagate thing, because those are both establishments that have been named by Pizzagate researchers as worthy of further investigation. Of course, Comet Ping Pong, Jimmy Comet's Instagram account, showed really awful things like what he called that kill room, which was that empty cement room, and then somebody
That's
else...
merely a room. That's merely a refrigerator room, Sean. You know, that's just for. I'm not even going to try to hear, folks.
Nothing to see here. And then another on the Instagram account said, I believe it was actually Jimmy Conner, who said hashtag murder. It leads people to have questions. If you live next to somebody who had that as an Instagram account and you went on his Instagram account and you saw him, a picture of himself covered in what looks like blood, could be pizza sauce, mostly nude and wearing women's high heels with the pizza sauce or blood all over his face. Is that somebody you'd want to live next to? You might have questions. I'm not sure how people feel about that, but researchers found it weird. So it's a small world when Jake Tapper's wife also noted that her favorite restaurant with the kids is Comet Ping Pong. Now, this is a year before this thing broke open with Pizzagate. So it makes you wonder, what relationship does Jake Tapper have to this thing, if there's any? But for me, specifically, it makes me understand why they just want it to go away. And they're not going to address any of the issues or any of the evidence that researchers have brought to light about Pizzagate and maybe some of those establishments right there in the area. Like, for instance, Besta Pizza, that is... widely recognized as having had a logo that the FBI's own documents say is very similar to the boy lover pedophile logo that you would need to keep an eye out when doing investigations like this. You look for coins, jewelry, logos. That was a pedophilic logo that, since Pizzagate broke, has since been changed. Why wouldn't CNN talk about that? Why does CNN insist on playing sound bites like this one? This comes from the day of the shooter event, of course, the Pizzagate shooter, Edgar Madison Welch, who, by the way, has an IMDb page. I'm sure you guys have already covered this, but it blew me away when I read about this today. An IMDb page in which he played an actor in a movie in 2005. You ready for what the name of the movie was called? Something About Pizza. And the role he played was the gunman. This is on his IMDb page.
No.
Okay? And so on the day of that shooting, they say one shot was fired. Some of the eyewitnesses would dispute that. But on the day of the shooting, CNN had this exchange between senior media correspondent Brian Stetler and Dean Obidala. You're going to hear Dean speak first and then Brian. Listen to this.
It's unfortunate. You have good people misinformed. And on this case, this man was radicalized online. This is no different than ISIS radicalizing
someone.
Radicalized
is an interesting word.
Right.
Conspiracy theories, these kinds of swamps of the Internet, can cause people to embrace extreme, wild views. Because it's reinforcing online. It's self-reinforcing. Yeah. You read all these articles, all these weird clues on Twitter and Facebook that make you think a preposterous idea like Pizzagate is actually true.
A preposterous idea like Pizzagate. So, guys, that to me screams of their desperation. Does it not? What's your take on that, Doug?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. But, you know, it's kind of like, to me, a non-denial denial. And a diversion tactic. There's a lot wrong with this. A lot wrong with their defense of this in many levels. But, well, go on. You're just turning it up. So go ahead and continue.
Well, I find it extremely troubling that the enemy is at the gates as it pertains to the mainstream media. Trump won as a big, essentially a counterlash, I think, a counterculture outlash against the mainstream Mockingbird media, right? What do we know about, why do I call it the mainstream Mockingbird media? Because of the CIA's Project Mockingbird, right? Which bragged that they could get any story they wanted that they made up on the front page of every major American newspaper within 24 hours. It's also the CIA, as you guys well know, that coined the term conspiracy theorist to try to curb conversation away from the idea of a magic bullet and JFK being assassinated. Anybody that wanted to have that conversation was immediately labeled the pejorative conspiracy theorist. They still use it today. They are so panicked about this story. They're so eager to try to dismiss it. And I don't really believe for one minute that the fellow that walked into that pizza joint, Edgar Madison Welch, was quote-unquote one of us. I don't believe for a minute that he was actually a researcher or a truther or anybody that had the idea of real justice in his mind. I think he was a pawn who was encouraged to or ordered to walk in there, whether it's military intelligence or who knows, black ops, I don't know. But I just don't buy for a second that he's got an IMDb page where he was in a movie called Something About Pizza, and he played, quote-unquote, the gunman.
I do, in fact. But let me ask this. To what end? For example, this guy walks in, doesn't shoot anyone, excuse me, I'm not sure I believe any of the accounts I've heard, but okay, let's just say he walked in and shot the gun at the wall or something. Or the floor. To what end? What's the purpose of him doing that? Or what's the purpose of that taking place? Is the purpose to be able to say, look, your fake news, quote unquote, is hurting, is causing a danger to society, and we have to shut you down or have to shut down the conversation? Was that the end game objective here?
I think there's a couple of different objectives, one of which I think plays right into the hand of, you saw the Washington Post piece labeling more than 200 sites as fake news sites, right? SGT Report was among those. So there is a meme now where they want to malign any alternative news media, which is eating the lunch of CNN. And I don't mean me. I mean, maybe we get, 35 to 45,000 page views a day at SGT Report. Zero Hedge gets about a million. InfoWars, I mean, there's really big operations that are trying to tell a narrative that is counter to the mainstream Mockingbird State Department talking points. And those are the enemies that are on that list. I do see that list as a badge of honor that I'm on it, and SG2 Report is on it, but I also see it as being the target list of sites that they would love to shut down. So one of the things is here about Pizzagate is they needed to get control of the narrative. They were losing the control. They've been losing control of the narrative. They didn't own the narrative. They weren't even part of the narrative on Twitter, trending for days, on Facebook, on YouTube. Some of the biggest videos on YouTube are Pizzagate videos. And so they needed to get control of the narrative. How do you do that? You send in a shooter. You lock down the narrative. You call it all fake news. And I got an email from somebody in law enforcement who said that these are often the things they will do when they need to lock down an area and do what he called a deep clean. If any of the things that researchers are concerned about as it relates to Comet Ping Pong are true, if there's been any nefarious activity there at all, any criminality, and I'm not suggesting for any certainty that there has been, I'm suggesting a investigation would have been warranted, they were able to lock down Comet Pizza with this particular event. potentially to do a deep clean. Lock it down. Say it's a there's a chain of evidence. There's a crime scene is what this reader suggested. Lock it down and take any evidence out and just do a deep clean. That was his take. I just think that there's multiple objectives in this operation, but first and foremost is to get control of the narrative, try to make the people who aren't paying attention to the alternative media believe that this is all fake. Pizzagate is nonsense made up by nutcases. And then in this sound clip, you heard Dean Obadalla say he was radicalized. The shooter was radicalized from these fake news sites. So then you get the other meme out there that not only are these sites fake, they're not reporting the truth, they're not doing real investigative journalism, which is completely untrue. They're lying. We are. But that, in addition to that, these sites are radicalizing people to do bad things. So it's a multifaceted attack against us, I think.
And that's a very dangerous accusation in a very dangerous area. When the media, well, when CNN and others like CNN can go out, as you said, the Mockingbird media, when they can say that it's because of our reporting, or the reporting by citizen journalists or investigators, to create an unsafe environment for people, then for cause to shut us up, shut us down, however you want to call it, to me that is extremely dangerous. And the radicalization aspect of this too, that I find very interesting as well, yeah. on a number of levels, because of course they. Well, compare that to how they use that in the context of Islam. But that you're exactly right. Such great observations. Go ahead.
Well, it's just very troubling because, as you guys know, this goes all the way to the top. I mean, it always has, right? The Franklin cover-up, the call boys that were being taken into the Reagan-Bush White House, Jimmy Savile. The issues at the Vatican, and I went to a Catholic school for 4 years for high school, so I'm not anti-Catholic. I also went to a Lutheran grade school for 3 years, and I am a Lutheran, but the crimes of the Catholic Church are no secret. So today, when Reuters reported that the Pope has come out, and the Pope is warning media over quote-unquote sin of spreading fake news and smearing politicians, I didn't make that up, that's a real headline, broke by Reuters today, Pope warns media sin. Well, I'll read that again. Pope warns media over sin of spreading fake news, smearing politicians. Okay, smearing politicians. What might he be talking about? Does this go all the way to the top with Pizzagate? I mean, are they that scared that people are starting to wake up to this global pedophilia ring that even the Pope is saying, you know, careful, and he's jumping on this fake news bandwagon? Because which politicians are being smeared? Well, John Podesta in 2011 by Andrew Breitbart. No lawsuit filed. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And now the Podesta WikiLeaks emails suggest that perhaps Breitbart was right, and John Podesta himself has been involved either directly in child trafficking or the cover-up for those who are involved in child trafficking. And we're not supposed to talk about it? How about Bill Clinton going to with Jeffrey Epstein to Lolita Island on the Lolita Express? What, 26 times? Are we not supposed to talk about that because we're smearing politicians? How about we embrace facts and talk about the facts that these people appear to be engaged in victimizing children in the worst possible ways, and it needs to be talked about. And then the light of truth has to be shined on this. It's the biggest problem in the world.
Hold on to that, because you hit the nail right on the head. Very articulate, very, very succinct, and extremely on the mark. And I believe this is the backdrop for the most important stories of our time. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Stay right where you're at. Back in three.